Did you know that everyone is listening to WVEWLP 107.7 FM Brattleboro Community Radio?
No, I had no idea.
This is the show okay, is so gay. I'm Ken.
And I'm Becca.
Do you know that September 23rd, Rebecca?
Yes, Ken.
Do you know it's a holiday?
No.
It is a holiday.
Is it a major holiday?
For us, it is.
Is it Thanksgiving or something?
And it is the gay Thanksgiving, or as it is more commonly called, Celebrate Bisexuality Day.
Is it really?
I swear to you it is.
That's kind of awesome.
It's observed on September 23rd. The day is a call for bisexual, pansexual friends and supporters to recognize and celebrate bisexuality, bisexual history, bisexual community and culture, and the bi pansexual people in their lives. It was first observed, folks think, in 1999. It was the brainchild of three U.S. bisexual rights activists, Wendy Curry of Maine, Michael Page of Florida, and Gigi Raven Wilbur of Texas. And the quote from Wilbur is, "Ever since the Stonewall Rebellion, the gay and lesbian community has grown in strength and visibility. The bisexual community has also grown in strength, but in many ways, we are still invisible. I, too, have been conditioned by society to automatically label a couple walking hand in hand as either straight or gay, depending upon the perceived gender of each person. Today, Rebecca, September 23rd, Celebrate Bisexuality Day."
Sweet.
Happy Celebrate Bisexuality Day.
Yeah, to you too.
Thank you. What should we get each other for that?
I don't know. Good presents.
Good presents. It would be
maybe two presents each, but only one at a time.
Why? It could also be at the same time.
It could be at the same time, I suppose. But it's not.
It would be. It
polyamory
would roll off,
day.
It would roll. That's September 24th. It would roll off the tongue, I think, a little bit more if it was Bisexuality Day, not Celebrate Bisexuality Day.
I think
that
you
the celebrate
send
is just
them an
implied.
Email. Yes.
I'm going to get right on that. We have a very special guest for you tonight, Iggy Dean, who
no
is an
way.
Alternative music superstar. We'll be calling in a little bit later, and we will be speaking with Iggy Dean. So that's okay. Very exciting. We'll be playing Iggy Dean's music all throughout the show. Yes, Rebecca.
Did you just say superstar?
I did.
Okay.
It just kind of flowed.
It just kind of flowed. Just checking.
So you think there was a lot of gay news this week?
I think that there was some significant news this week, yes. And you say there was nothing.
I was not as impassioned.
And you're not impressed.
I was not as impassioned about this week's news. I will say that today's news was probably among the biggest. During its first House hearing, openly gay representatives Barney Frank and Tammy Baldwin urged the passage of a federal gay protections bill. The Employment Non-Discrimination Act would ban discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation and gender identity in the area of employment.
You're not excited about this.
You know, I might be a little, I'm getting a little endo weary. I think just because we talk about it every week and I'm ready for it to get passed, but apparently this show is so gay radio show in Brattleboro, Vermont, wanting it to get passed, snapping its gay fingers does not make it so.
It's working.
It's working.
It's just working slowly.
I thought that this was kind of a funny quote. Barney Frank was referring to the claims of opponents who have labeled the bill part of a radical agenda. His quote was, "Trying to get a job or join the military has not been the hallmark of radicalism," which is very true. So it would be a great bill. We would like it to be passed, and we snap our gay fingers, and I feel it makes it so.
Okay. That'll work for me.
Did that work?
No, but Ken, it is a big deal.
It is a big deal.
Do you know that in 29 states right now, it's still legal to fire someone because of their sexual orientation?
What about Vermont? I would assume it's not legal in Vermont.
I don't think it's legal in Vermont. And in 38 states, it's still legal to fire someone for coming out as transgender.
Look at you and your stats.
I got stats today.
What about bisexuals?
That's sexual orientation they're killing.
I know. I just really want to highlight bisexuals because today is Celebrate Bisexuality Day.
And we're celebrating
that. Not to be confused with Bisexuality Day, which I am starting. This is Celebrate Bisexuality
and
Day.
And what day will Bisexuality Day be?
February 21st, day after my birthday.
Okay.
That's just what I'm going with.
All right, we're going with that.
We're going with that. So that's really exciting. Can we play some music? I want to play
sure
some.
You sure can. I'm trying to figure out how to get on Instant Messenger because it's not working.
Oh, no.
I'm sorry, everybody. It's not working.
Oh, no. Yes.
Oh, now it worked. Ha! See, as soon as I complain.
That's the way it works here. All right, we're going to play a little music by Iggy Dean. This is a song called Onions Milk.
Bloody day, it's back from the land today.
That was Onion's Milk by tonight's guest, Itchy Dean, who will be calling in just a little bit. I'm convinced that she kept saying Odessa in the song. I'm convinced of it. So, some of the big news...
Can you explain who Odessa is?
Odessa is our, the third host of the show. So, I'm convinced...
Also known as a dog.
A dog. My dog.
A really cute dog, but a dog.
My dachshund, who you can go to dogster.com. What are you rolling your eyes for? You've never been to Dogster? It's the newest incarnation. It's actually really old. It was started around the time of Fred. Your head is in your hands right now. So if you want to go see my dog, you can go to Dogster.com and type in Odessa. And Odessa is the only dachshund. And then you can cyberstalk Odessa. I'm a little punchy this morning. I apologize. So wow. They released an ad in Maine. Did you hear this ad?
I have not heard that ad, no.
Okay, I'm going to play the ad.
Go for it.
Okay, hopefully
let's see if it works. Drum roll or something.
Opponents of question one say that legalizing homosexual marriage has nothing to do with schools.
But it has everything to do with schools.
After Massachusetts legalized gay marriage, our son came home and told us the school taught him that boys can marry other boys.
What?
He's in second grade.
We tried to stop public schools from teaching children about gay marriage, but the court said we had no right to object or pull him out of class.
It's already happened in Massachusetts. Vote yes on question one to prevent homosexual marriage from being taught in Maine schools.
Oh, my.
I feel we have to act immediately, Ken.
And vote yes? No, we have to vote no on question one. So that was an ad airing in Maine. And the big brouhaha is that, so if you obviously you couldn't see the ad, you were listening to it. It was a teacher in the classroom queuing up this couple on TV. Now, they actually used this couple in ads for Proposition 8 in California. So they are reusing this couple, who are very upset about the book King and King, which, if you do not own King and King, you must go buy King and King. It's
preferably
a fantastic,
from a store in Maine.
Yes, it's a fantastic, or just anywhere. Buy it from Amazon or any other site that we don't endorse. But go buy King and King because it's a fantastic, fantastic children's book. But all that said, so this woman, and she, it says her name, Sharla Bansley, teacher, Ellsworth, Maine. She's a teacher, yes, in a private, extraordinarily Catholic school. And she also is a bigwig in, I think it's Concerned Women for America, who are a notoriously, notoriously anti-gay group. So it's becoming kind of laughable that you can reuse footage from Proposition 8 and getting that passed to get this passed, question one in Maine, but at the same time, it worked in California. So they're hoping that lightning can strike twice and this will work in Maine. But we're more savvy than that. Right?
Yeah, we're New England.
We're more savvy. We're New England. It's a fly buzzing around the studio. A very gay fly that's annoying me. A majority of workers...
Did you just use gay as a majority?
No, I think it... No. I think it was actually a same-sex loving fly. A study came out this week that a majority of workers, Rebecca, hide their sexual orientation and gender identity at work. Did you see this one?
Not just a majority, but 51%.
51%. So
they're
we're not even
just
talking
hiding
about
their orientation, but yeah, it's from all or some of their coworkers. See how I have the numbers here?
Look how
I'm just
good
saying.
You are.
I did research.
The report is entitled Degrees of Equality, a National Study Examining Workplace Climate for LGBT Employees. It found that despite significant advances in employment policies at major U.S. corporations, a majority of LGBT workers continue to experience a range of negative consequences because of their sexual orientation, gender identity. Now, this is the kicker.
Dun, dun, dun.
I thought this was the most interesting part. Younger workers.
I saw this too. It got me completely baffled.
Younger workers are even more likely to hide their LGBT identity. Only 5% of LGBT employees ages 18 to 24 say they are totally open at work.
Right. And that's versus 20% of older employees, which is surprising.
It's surprising.
What's going on there?
I don't know.
I mean, neither one of us are in that demographic, so I guess...
But
these
you
are
have
the people
been
who are totally out on Facebook or, you know, on whatever.
Did you see that Facebook
MySpace,
study?
Whatever. No. There was a Facebook study?
There were these MIT guys. I didn't even print it out because I didn't care that much about it. But you said Facebook and it made me think of it. Who were trying to do this study that you could determine who was gay on Facebook based on their friends. Yeah. Huh. But then they found that that wasn't actually true. So they failed. But anyway, back to the workers. Sorry,
right.
I tangented out there.
The study was really interesting. And one other part of it that surprised me was that 42% said that they had lied recently and or frequently about their personal life.
When was the last time you lied?
About my personal... Like, to hide my...
Yeah.
I don't know.
Although
I mean, little white...
place.
Yeah, but there... Yeah, I work at a really open and affirming kind of
now
place.
You do, but the place before that wasn't so open and
the
affirming.
Place before there, I never had to outwardly lie. I just never said anything. But I also worked at a computer, and the people who are within 3 feet of me never actually turned to talk to me. They would send emails. So
that's creepy.
It wasn't a really friendly place.
I'm not sure if I told you this. A few weeks ago, a new person who works at the college that we both work at, we were talking about editing and dissertations and stuff, and I had said how my dissertation didn't need any, it didn't get returned to me for revisions because my partner's an editor and my partner edited the whole thing. It was great. And she said, oh my gosh, how convenient is that, that your wife is an editor. And I just had this really nice moment of, oh my God, it's been so long since anyone has even remotely, truly, even remotely assumed that my partner was female. So it was a really beautiful moment for me.
Oh.
I don't know why. Maybe that wasn't a beautiful moment. I told
this
story to someone
weird.
Else.
Why did you find this beautiful?
I don't know. I was passing. It was great. No, I certainly don't. That wasn't why. It's funny. I told the story to someone else last weekend and they said, oh God, were you offended? No, I thought it was really charming and endearing. I didn't think it said anything about me. I think it said about her. And it was cute and cuddly. And I don't know. Should I have been offended?
I don't think you should have been offended. But when you use a term like partner, it's kind of odd that they would assume that.
It's my partner in love.
Yeah.
My business partner in our corporation is love. yeah, no, I just wasn't bothered by it at all. Maybe I should have. Sure.
So
it
did you correct her?
Oh, I did. And she was mortified. Not because she was talking to a gay person, but because, let's clarify, a gay working
did
here
she run
at
and wash
liberal
her
arts
hands?
College. Well, we just, they were sanitizer. But yeah, I'm sure it was incredibly heterosexist, and now we're going to get all these emails at thisshowissogay@AOL.com telling me that it was
well, it's just kind of funny because, I mean, you're pretty out at work.
Are you saying that?
I'm saying that it's fairly common knowledge that
yes,
your partner.
But she was new. She was new.
Andrew. You know? I mean, so it's kind of funny being a small community where secrets do not.
We're playing another song. We're playing another song. This is a song, another song by Itchy Dean. This is called For Noelia. And we're going to ask Itchy Dean about Noelia in just a few minutes. So enjoy. We will soon learn that I in no way said the name of that song correctly. Guest, is that correct, that I did not say the name of that song correctly?
No, you sort of, you put the emphasis a little bit oddly.
It's you know, it's, really, it's not, you know, it's a little rude to correct the host. But everyone, meet Itchy Dean, the self-made garage pop sing-song celebration. It's all complete. With haunt, oh my gosh.
And hyphenated.
It's hyphenated. It's complete. At 19, our guest joined Face Parade, a pavement-esque New York City indie rock group. After 2 years banging the drums with the boys all over the city scene, she left the band to go live abroad in Florence, Italy, which is in Italy.
It is in Italy.
It is.
Which is in Europe.
Which is in Europe, where she formed the jazz duo Les Bilances. That's how I say it. That's how I say it. Is that okay?
Well, it's not... Sure, Ken.
I like when they indulge me. Shortly after graduating from Sarah Lawrence, Iggy Dean escaped back to Italy to write solo material. But the big thing... with her sound newly influenced by Argentine folklorico and Peruvian Pachamama spirit, Iggy Dean has finally returned from her South American songwriting sojourn, ready to introduce herself to the world with the completed 9-song album, OK Cadavers, recorded in 3 different continents and independently released on July 6, 2009. Iggy Dean, welcome to This Show Is So Gay.
Thank you.
How are you?
I'm really well. I'm really, really well. I'm really excited to be radio reunited with you.
What? I don't know what you're talking about.
Wait, is there a secret?
Am I not allowed to? Am I, like, held by contract to not talk about our history?
You can out our history to everyone. How would you characterize our history?
I'm outing it. Well, actually, Ken and I know each other because we used to be in Heat together.
We were in Heat together.
You might want to explain that to those of
Why?
Us who...
Why explain that? What did Heat stand for?
Health Education Awareness Theater.
Yes, it did. Becca just put her face down, down on the desk.
When I was a little, you know, indelible first year
at
Lawrence College, I remember seeing this, like, improv sex skit. I was just like, ooh, I'm in college now. I'm going to try something different. I'm going to try theater.
And look what happened.
I joined Heat and was in Heat with Ken.
I directed Heat.
Yes.
I
directed
was the
Heat for all of us.
I was the Heat director.
Really?
And then eventually my relationship with Ken blossomed in the radio sphere.
It did.
And I was hired as the maintenance person for the radio station.
Yes, you were.
The facilities director, if you will. And then I rose to the ranks of general manager, and Ken and I had many a show together.
Now,
WSLC.
You believe in community radio, do you not?
I live, eat, breathe, sleep community radio, Ken.
Preach the choir of community radio.
I'm doing it now, honey bunny.
Now, the highest, Becca, the highest rated show ever in WSLC history.
Mm-hmm. What was it?
Tell our
It was, I had this radio program, Prevert Radio, and we had a special evening called Beef with Schneck, as in Ken Schneck, because Ken at the time was the dean of students.
The assistant dean, the assistant dean of students.
Well, you were the dean of students to me, Ken.
Well, thank you.
And so it gave everybody the opportunity to pick their fights with Ken on air, and we maxed out the WSLC listeners'
we
peak.
We did.
That's kind of awesome.
It was really awesome.
And dangerous.
It
you lived wild.
I think it's still, like, if you search, I feel like I still find it on Google every now and
then. Oh, yes. No, it's totally there. It's totally there. It's an SLC event, a Sarah Lawrence College event that you can still find on Google. So, no, we maxed out. It was a very big deal.
Yeah.
Now, the music she played on her show, Becca, it's what I would characterize as, in certain musical circles, it was, the technical term is dachshund scaring.
Ken would always harass me on the instant messenger, you know, back to Odessa, who I dog sat, because Ken and I were also neighbors.
We were.
Oh, goodness.
I was convinced as we were listening to one of your songs a little bit earlier, to Onion's Milk, mm-hmm. I'm convinced that you said Odessa somewhere in that song.
Well, Odessa is probably my main muse in all of my songwriting endeavors.
You're not even the first person to say that. The Indigo Girls were on a few weeks ago, and they were... they were saying the same thing. Hey, congratulations on OK Cadavers.
Oh, thank you.
How exciting is this?
I'm not destroying the mystique and, you know, spilling all of this.
I know. It kind of is. I'm like, oh, we have a rock star. Oh, just Ken's neighbor.
That's just coincidence.
No, it's just a coincidence.
It's a rock star.
My agent got me this gig with The Show Is So Gay.
See, look at that. What? OK Cadavers is huge. This is a really big deal.
Yes. So it's on iTunes Music Store, which is very exciting for me.
Very.
It's, you know, I'm actually making money from recording songs.
Nice.
That's good.
Extremely exciting. It's on other radio outlets such as Django Airplay. It's, you can also buy it on Amazon. I mean, it's out there.
How would you characterize it?
You know, even though I, like, picked this according to the MySpace genre catalog, you know, garage pop was, I guess, the thing that fit the music best. Every time someone asks me this to this day, I falter. I'm just like, well, it's like indie, punk, folk, girl, pop, and blah, blah, blah. It's just, I don't know. It's really, I guess that's a good thing that you can't really,
That is,
you know,
a good thing.
But
you're breaking new ground.
Right. Yeah.
I was doing all this research because on my iTunes, it comes up when I'm looking at iTunes and I'm looking at OK Cadavers, which I have purchased and supported.
Excellent.
It comes up as alternative. And so I was doing some research on the intersection between gay identity and alternative music, and I came across all these articles saying it is much more difficult to be an alternative artist and be gay than it is to be a mainstream artist and be gay, which I found to be more than a bit curious. What have you?
So you say this right after, yeah, invite her on the show.
Yes.
You don't tell her ahead of time. Nice.
No,
friend.
Lance Bass is probably the only. Who else is?
I know.
George. I mean, George
Michael. Who else we got? Boy George, but he's in jail.
Yeah.
What are you putting your head in your hands? He's in jail.
Yeah, I mean. Elton John isn't officially out either, is he?
Well, that was the story with him this week, because Joy Behar, because he tried to adopt a baby, I think, in Uruguay, and Joy Behar on The View. This is what I do at work. No, it's not. I'm a dean, and I don't do this at work. But Joy Behar was saying that it was a travesty that they would not let Elton John adopt. So I think he's pretty out.
Speaking of Uruguay, the cover photo of OK Cadavers was taken in Uruguay.
You're a world traveler.
I am. And, but yeah.
Now, can I tell everyone, because you also, you have a political side to you, do you not?
Sure, yeah. Tell the world about my political side. Which, I mean, I have a sordid history of various political, yeah, just go for it, Kat.
In particular, I would like to highlight your political side circa 2002.
Oh, when that's on the, Wait, 2002?
Wasn't it 2002?
You mean 2004?
Maybe it was...
When I was arrested?
Oh, it was. 2004, when you were arrested. Tell our listening audience.
Oh, dear.
Oh, this could take the whole show.
Well, give them the brief synopsis, because I will tell you, and guest of ours, I have said this to any number of people, so it can be proven. I have forwarded it a million times. The piece of writing that you did about your experience in 2004, getting arrested, is... just brilliant. It is brilliant. I have forwarded it. I refer to it. I actually used it in class last semester.
Wow. And I do believe, I mean, I think at the time you had said that this woman named Hillary Clinton something,
yeah.
She had read it, I believe.
Yes. No.
And also, I mean, I don't think it's all that brilliant just because it's basically just a timeline of my jail time. But I know that I think it's Myra Goldberg who is or was a professor at Sarah Lawrence,
mm-hmm.
just came out with a book, and she used my... She never even met me, but in her book synopsis, she credits Lindsay Samuels' harrowing jail account.
Now, you should probably tell everyone at this point why you were arrested.
Okay, yeah. So 2004
yeah, I'd like to
was
know.
The Republican National Convention being held, of all places, in the heart of New York City.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, just doing my civic duty, three friends and I went out to demonstrate our presence, essentially just say, hey, we aren't too happy about Mr. Bush's party in New York. But anyway, totally intended to go peacefully, weren't looking to cause any trouble.
Uh-huh.
But New York City that day, there were more people arrested in a single day on this Tuesday. It was like September something. first week of September.
Yes, it was, because I will tell you, it was during Sarah Lawrence College's orientation.
Yeah.
And a group of first-year students, I don't know if, you know, who was the organizer. I'm not saying that it was you, but
A group of them got arrested and you had to talk to their parents?
That is exactly what happened, and I will never forget it. We were watching, we had part of orientation at Sarah Lawrence, and maybe it still is, it was an outdoor movie. And so big outdoor movie on the lawn, and that year's outdoor movie was Finding Nemo. And I'm in the middle of watching Finding Nemo, and the cell phone, the duty pager, starts going off, and it was parents calling and saying, "You got my daughter arrested in New York City." And I said, "Oh my God, I did? I didn't even know what was going on at that point." And so, yes, it was some first-year students were arrested along with our guest tonight.
Little did they know that it was one of the most strategic, best things that could have happened to me as a Sarah Lawrence student. It was all, you know, for us non-first year, I was a sophomore at the time, it was the week where you interview classes and try and pick your classes.
Yeah.
And so when I was arrested, I'll try and speed up. Basically, we were just walking down the street where we were around 32nd and 8th. They just blocked off both streets and just arrested every single person that was on the block, whether or not they were protesting or demonstrating. If they were just coming out of their houses, they were picked up as well. And they, you know, just cuffed everyone, put us in city buses that they had commandeered for that day to take care of these troublemakers.
Uh-huh.
Brought us to Pier 57 in Chelsea, which inside was set up as basically a makeshift Guantanamo Bay.
Nice.
With just all of these caged cells with porta potties and filled to the hilt with people.
Nice. So very, very Ritz-Carlton.
Oh, yes, of course.
Yes.
And I'll never forget little Janice Morgan, who was with me, finding her curled up on the floor, like, with black soot all over her face.
Oh.
The pier that they had us in used to be a bus depot, so it was covered with oil, and there was asbestos and all this stuff. But anyway, so they kept us there for, like, 14 hours, and then we got put in pad wagon trucks and were taken down to central booking and the crypts and put into general jail rotation. And, you know, they moved us around there for... Basically, I got arrested Tuesday night. I didn't get out until Thursday evening.
How many hours were you a political prisoner in the United States?
44 hours.
44 hours.
According to New York law, nobody can be arrested without being arraigned within 24 hours, so they were in contempt. And the judge at the time ordered habeas corpus to produce the body. And so, basically, the NYPD got themselves in a whole lot of trouble, but... They had arrested more people than they could process.
Oh, my. Wait, so this is the important thing. Do you have to now check off the box that says you were arrested?
No. Well, there's actually no box that says, are you arrested? There's a box that says, have you ever been
convicted of a felony?
Oh, I should read these boxes more closely.
Yeah. And essentially what I negotiated with this lawyer for 2 seconds when I was on my way out was... I wasn't allowed to get in trouble for 6 months. If I didn't get in trouble for 6 months, then my file would be sealed non-existent, which, you know, of course I don't believe, but that's, you know...
Right.
That's how I... If anyone... Well, I take a lot of pride in what happened, so I'm not, like...
Yeah, I was going to say, you're not exactly, like, keeping quiet.
But, no one's listening.
Yeah.
We're just on iTunes. It's okay.
It's just between us.
The thing about it is, though... You know, and this is something that's pro Sarah Lawrence. You know, you get that, like, first phone call from jail. And, you know, who did I call? I didn't call my mom. I didn't call, you know, a lawyer. I didn't call any of those people. I called my Don.
Yes, you did.
Who, in Sarah Lawrence terms, that's like your academic advisor.
A little bit more than an advisor, a little bit less than a parent.
Exactly. And, you know, my Don, Maria Negroni, is a mentor. And she has she was a political prisoner in her past, too. So I called her. And basically, I was just like, Maria, I'm in jail. Can you call Elia and Judy and tell them I'm going to miss my interview?
Nice.
Because I was most concerned at the time about missing class interviews with these two professors that I really wanted to study with, who are two of the hardest professors, especially Elia. It's like an impossible class to get into.
Right.
He's one of the most senior professors at Sarah Lawrence. Anyway, long story short, it was one of the, you know, most harrowing experiences of my life, but also one of the most glorious because... That Thursday, because it was the first week of college, my band at the time, Faith Parade, was playing, the WSLC was throwing like an orientation party and my band was headlining. And of course, you know, I was in jail, so I was wearing the same clothes, you know, that I was wearing Tuesday night. I had nothing with me because I may have attended a meeting before I went into New York with a few other people who were discussing strategies about going in. And they all said, don't bring any money, don't bring an ID, which then turned out to be a huge problem because I had...
A little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit. So but, if you were advising young students, young first years now who are going to protest politically, you would advise them to bring their ID.
And I would advise them also to put the National Lawyers Guild number and permanent marker on their arm.
There you go.
And, yeah.
Okay.
But it was hilarious because I, you know, I was just, like, caked in dirt and filth in these clothes, and I only had $11 on me, which was, like, just enough money to get on the Metro North back home.
Yeah.
To Sarah Lawrence. And I'll never forget this, like, really waspy Bronxvillian woman sitting next to me who literally got up and was like, and moved her seat.
I will not sit next to a political prisoner.
Yeah, I looked pretty beat. And I, like, I was stumbling up the gates of Sarah Lawrence, and my guitar player was on the phone, and he looked at me like he saw a ghost, and he said, he was in the process of canceling our show, and he said, wait a second, Lindsay's here. And he's like, Lindsay, can you play the show? And I was just like, yeah, I'm going to go take a shower, set up my drums. So I literally, like, took a shower, and then I came into this packed room and, like, played this
Look
epic
at
show
that.
Right out of jail.
Well, so now I need to ask you, as someone who has been a political prisoner and someone who is pretty fired up politically, what's your, we've been talking about this a lot in our past couple shows, as guests in the news in general have expressed frustration with President Obama and, mm-hmm. and the lack of action on LGBT issues. Where do you stand on all of this? Where's your level of frustration?
Well, you know, I was when I was observing him, you know, during the election period, and I had friends who were a little upset about his, sort of his silence on the matter. And I remember what sort of placated me, at least then, was the interview he had done with The Advocate. And in the interview, he essentially was saying, or reassuring whomever was interviewing him, that the reason that he is not, or at the time, was not so forward in pushing the agenda was because he put it on par with the civil rights mm-hmm. issues of the 1960s mm-hmm. and essentially, you know, press that this is something that's going to come from the people, not from the administration. And, but, which was sort of kind of a cop-out, but my opinions are shifting a bit on Obama now, but the way that I felt about him then, I'm talking like, you know, last summer.
Right.
Was essentially just, he was playing his cards very cautiously, and I was willing to accept his compromise then as being like, okay, he can't come off too radical or perhaps too progressive, because then it's going to cost him the election, or it's going to cost him this sort of, you know, popularity. And that his argument at the time was, let the people initiate this, and as long as the administration doesn't stand in the way, because essentially, you know, he pointed out that with in terms of at least marriage between people of different races, that was not something that was achieved.
Right.
So that, you know, and then, you know, I remember watching Michelle Obama speaking to, I don't remember the exact organization, it was like some LGBT organization.
Okay.
And I don't know, I've sort of, my idea right now is that I'm not really caught to speed with what he's doing with Dilma. I know it's not enough, but on my list of priorities, my personal list of priorities, I recognize that he has, you know, 20 million things that he needs to reverse or at least put some gasoline into to get going, and that perhaps more important right now is you know, domestic economic healthcare issues.
So you're feeling hopeful?
I'm still hopeful.
Okay. We're going to take the hopeful.
Okay.
This is the favorite part of the show. This is the favorite part of the show for our listeners.
We psychoanalyze you. Actually, we ask you to psychoanalyze yourself based on your music selections.
And now this is a little different. We actually have not, Becca, had a musician on in a quite some
time.
Oddly. We've had people picking their own music, and picking music that they did not make. And this is a little different for tonight's guest because you actually created this music. So we'll only make you do it twice.
Okay.
Okay. So what we're going to have you tell our listening audience what these two songs say about you. Okay. We're going to start with the song whose title I mangled. Say it correctly for our audience.
For Noelia.
For Noelia. Tell us about that song.
Okay, so For Noelia is funny because I think, well, if this, given the theme of your show.
Yes.
You probably want me to talk about my lesbian love.
Okay.
Which I have many of, especially on OK Cadavers.
Nice.
And For Noelia is sort of a red herring because a lot of friends, when they first heard it, including, the one love who thought it was a song about for her.
Right.
Which it was not. It's a red herring because it's, of all my songs, which 80% are essentially lesbian heartbreak themes, For Noelia is not.
Oh.
For Noelia, but For Noelia has an interesting story. This can turn into a whole big dramatic thing, but... I spent the last year teaching in Argentina, and actually, I know I have some students listening right now.
Oh, yay!
Which is very exciting. And one of my students was Noelia, and I was really, I just loved this girl, and she was so sweet, and, she's in her early 20s, but she, loved this one Argentine, basically, Ricky Martin sort of guy, and so she had, her room was just covered with, boy band posters and all this stuff. And, she just had sort of this, really great teen mentality about her. So one night, my roommate and I were, joking about, this, AOL instant message culture and all this stuff. And so we wrote the whole song in internet acronyms. So, the lyrics are BRB, FYI, OMG, WTF, but it's all in Spanish.
Nice.
That's
so
great.
I sort of lied because in essence, the song was written as that, sort of as a joke. But I then, when I think about it, if you want to go deep psychoanalysis, when I think about it, it actually is a song sort of about the real love. Because if you line those things up, be right back, for your information, oh my God, just kidding, what the fuck? laughing out loud, I'll talk to you later. So it becomes a very abstract sort of agony. But the Noelia the in the title is not an object of my affection,
okay.
or not an object of my romantic affection.
Well, now this is going to be an interesting transition because I have listened to the entire album.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite song on the album, and I'm curious how this is a lesbian heartbreak song. The Indian Squirrel Dance.
That is also not a lesbian.
Look how I chose
them. You're not
getting
the lesbian songs, Ken.
Oh, crud.
But actually...
Because this is the song that's going to play you out. It's going to be the Indian Squirrel Dance.
Okay. Well, that one's more of a throwback to my political angst, but also in honor of Bisexuality Day, my bisexuality angst. My
Yay.
Bisexual angst of,
How are you celebrating Celebrate Bisexuality Day?
Well, so far today, I'm talking to you guys.
There you go.
That's a great way to celebrate.
That's a pretty gay way of doing it, I think.
Yeah, hurrah.
Now, where can our listeners go to learn more about you, to purchase your music? What should they do?
Well, I would direct them first to myspace.com/IggyDean, IDGYDEAN, and that's, where... They can hear all of the songs for free, and they can, and as they listen to all of those songs, it does me a wonder because it makes it look like I have lots of fans who are listening each day.
Great.
Which is important.
So listeners, go do that.
And then from there, if they want more information, if they want to truly own it, they can go, which I encourage them to, support local independent music. They can go to iTunes, and all they have to do is search Iggy Dean in the iTunes store, and there OK Cadavers will come up, and you can purchase it.
And do not burn it for other people. We don't like when you do that. You purchase
a copy. Some dude might come chasing after you with
Exactly.
Oh, well. And then there's also a website, which it's very tricky doing what I do right now, because I'm all at once the band leader, the band promoter, the band manager, the talent, and so I'm also the web designer. So the website is still a work in progress, but eventually they can start checking back there more frequently, and that's just simpleoldidgydean.com.
Fantastic.
And they can also become a fan on Facebook, which is, you know, I'm a very active member, and I think I'm starting to contemplate getting a Twitter account.
Oh, really?
I don't really want
to, but
I feel like I'm being peer pressured into it.
We were too, and we resisted.
We did.
We said no to Twitter.
No tweeting.
Well, the thing that's starting to like make me think about it again is I'm noticing on MySpace and Facebook, which already keeps me busy keeping up with my social networks, you can apparently sync them all up, because my initial thought was just like, I don't need another social networking site that I need to update.
Right.
But if you can sync them all up, maybe I can...
Maybe that wouldn't be so bad.
Reach more people.
You're so technologically savvy.
Yeah. You can run our Twitter page.
Yeah.
Because what we hear you saying is you don't have enough to do.
Right.
Right, exactly. So.
Well, it is such an absolute trip having you on the show.
I'm so honored. And Ken, I know you and I talked about this. This is just the preliminary Iggy Dean exposure on the show So Gay. And that I hope when I am on Fall... Wait, when I am on tour later this fall, not on fall later this
You're
tour,
coming to the studio.
That I want to do a live performance in the studio.
We are not, even if the Indigo Girls say to us, we want to do a live show before you're coming, we're going to say no, because you will be our first live show in the studio.
Oh, beautiful. Don't lie. He's not going to say no to the Indigo Girls.
I will say no
anybody.
Okay, I won't. But that's not the point. You will be our second live show right after the... Indigo Girls. No, we would love to have you.
And if people can't wait until then, and if they're in the New York area, I will be performing this next Thursday, October 1st, which also happens to be my birthday.
Oh, yay!
At the R Bar on Bowery Street between Prince and Spring. Very early show. Doors are at 6:30, and it'll be a really fun show because it's my birthday.
You're going to be like 21.
Yeah, plus four.
Yay! Oh my gosh, really?
Yeah, I know. Isn't it crazy?
It's gone by very quickly. I have to tell you, I am so unbelievably proud of you.
Oh, Ken.
I am so unbelievably proud of you. I made this commitment to see this group of Sarah Lawrence students from their freshman year, their first year through to seniors, and it was this nice group of Lindsay Sanwald and Stephanie Long and Molly Walsh. And Rose Anderson is almost there, and we're going to get her to that graduation. She's right on the cusp, but
yeah.
I'm so proud of all of you. But it's just such a trip to go on iTunes and purchase your music. It's great.
Well, Daddy Schneck, it's a pleasure to to keep up radio with you and you know, states away, and I can't wait to see Odessa again.
Yes. Now, can we just say for the record, there's no doubt in my mind that for your second album there will be a song called Odessa.
Oh, it's already in the works.
Awesome.
I mean, it's in pre-production now, but you know.
You know he won't forget.
I will.
Right?
Oh, I will not forget.
Keep that in mind when you make promises.
An absolute, absolute treat having you on the show. Have an amazing show next week. Happy, happy birthday from all of our listeners here at This Show Is So Gay. Go out there, keep making music, keep using your unique voice, and we look forward to seeing you this fall.
Oh, thank you. And happy Bisexual Day. Happy
Celebrating Bisexuality Day to you.
Great talking
to you.
All the best.
Peace.
as we are listening to the Indian Squirrel Dance, we're actually going to say goodnight. We're going to say goodnight to you guys. We that's all our news. That's our guest for tonight. We hope you've enjoyed it. We hope that you get out there and buy some tickets, folks, to Notes for Life. It's a great way of supporting AIDS awareness organizations, AIDS prevention, AIDS advocacy, all of that stuff. So
NotesForLife.net.
NotesForLife.net. All of the proceeds from Notes for Life are split between the AIDS Project of Southern Vermont and the San Francisco AIDS Project. Even if you can't make it, there are instructions right there on NotesForLife.net. After you click buy tickets, there are instructions on how to sponsor a ticket. We really, really hope that you're able to do so. And we hope you can maybe come to the event, because that would be great. So we'd like to thank Iggy Dean. Get out there and buy her music. We want to wish you a very, very happy Celebrate Bisexuality Day. And get out there, folks. Remember, why be gay when you can be so gay?